And it's a pleasure to head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline as we get to say hello to former NFL head coach and Titans radio analyst Dave McGinnis. Coach Mack, how are you?
John, Jimmy, I'm doing great. Hey, I love Double Dogs. Doug Matthews and I go to the Double Dogs here on the West End quite often, so I can chime right in. Double Dogs is the best.
Oh, outstanding. And I tell you what, things were going outstanding for the Titans, but they've hit in to a bit of a rough patch. And Coach, one of the things that really stands out is to look at what is now an NFL record for most players to play for one team in a season. And fortunately, there's still a lot of football left.
Well, the record was 84 players through a 16-game season, guys. And the Titans hit 86. And the thing that's most revealing, I mean, there's a graph, you know, that was sent to me, and I did 3HL today, and we went over. And look, this is it's not an excuse. It's just reality. Titans have had, through 12 games, 13 players on the roster that have been available to play every game. That's it. You know, the top of the league is 32 or 33, all right? And the next one to them is 18. So it's unprecedented, the number of injuries and transactions that they've had to make. And they've done a really remarkable job of being able to patch the dike. And they, I think they reached a tipping point as deep as they've gotten these last 2 weeks. This bye week, guys, could not have come at a better time. But, you know, the last five games of the season, which that's what we're in right now. We're in a five-week season. After this bye, you've got to be able to get some of your dudes back. That's just the reality of it, and that's what's got to happen for the Titans. As I say, both games that they've lost two in a row for the first time since last year. Both games that they've lost can be directly traced to. Look, missing players, that's life in the National Football League. It's a game of attrition, and nobody cares at the end. And I tell you what, I coached in the league for 31 years. I was really happy when my opponents were hurt. I'm just going to put that out there. And so everybody else, all of our opponents, they're happy that the Titans are hurt now. So you've got to play through that, and you've got to find a way to win games. But regardless of who's playing the last 2 weeks, you cannot have the amount of turnovers that they've had and really beat anybody.
Coach, I was going to touch on that. You run for 270 yards, you're going to win that game in the NFL unless you have four turnovers. So obviously that's the thing they got to eliminate. Were you surprised that the Titans ran for that many yards against New England?
Jimmy, not really, because, you know, Mike and I and Amy Wells, we're at practice every day. And so I knew their plan and what they had going in. They had a great plan going in. They wanted to shorten the game. They wanted to make them play their game as far as the run game goes and take it into the fourth quarter. And it was working to perfection. How about this? The two running backs that had 270 yards, those two running backs, the highest total they'd ever had in their NFL career to this point was 35 yards apiece, okay? And so they had a great plan, and they were blocking the front perfectly, but you can't now they had really, guys, let's be honest, they had three turnovers that mattered. The fourth turnover, the game was done. All right, yeah. But the three turnovers that they had, the two fumbles, one by each running back after significant yardage gain, and then the tip pass in the end zone, you know, were killers. They really were, because they had something going in that game. But look, nobody cares. Ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas, right? Nobody cares about that stuff. They really don't. Just find a way to get it done.
Does Ryan Tannehill have to pick up his game, or do you give him a little bit of a pass because he doesn't have Julio Jones and A.J. Brown?
Well, he doesn't give himself a pass. But look, you know, the court, and he's clearly said this, he's got to play better. He's got to protect the football better. And each one of those interceptions that he has thrown all have a different narrative to it. You know, you can break it down. I've broken down every one of them. Some of them are, you know, misrun routes. Some of them are bad decisions. Some of them are throws at the end where you're forcing it, trying to make something happen. But at the end of the day, he came out and said it, and he because that's the kind of stand-up guy that he is, and he's the definite leader of this team. He said, look, I've got to play better. I've got to protect the ball better. And he said, it's all on me. Well, it's not all on him, but clearly, I mean, guys, in the National Football League, a quarterback, when things are going good, they get all the praise and all the money, okay? The head coach, when it's going good, he gets all the praise and he gets the most money on the coaching staff. When it goes bad, they both get all the blame. I've been the head coach. I know how that works. It's just part of the process. But Ryan Tannehill, you know, has got to protect the ball better regardless of the situation.
As you look at it, Coach, has there been any update to hear how things are going for Derrick Henry?
No, I mean, he's in the building. He's in the building. You know, it was a, and again, I'm not a doctor. You know, as I say, when I went to TCU and played football, I dropped out of their medical school after a semester because it was just too easy. I wanted something else harder when I was playing ball. But here's the deal. That bone down there, that fifth metatarsal, doesn't get blood flow. That's why they pin it and screw it immediately. And so it takes time. So, no, there's no, you know, there is no timeline on there. There's no timeline on there. But he's in the building. He's doing what he has to do. Just like all of our other injured people are. I mean, I think we've got 18 on injured reserve right now. We need to get our dudes back. That's the bottom line.
What has it been like to watch somebody like Kevin Byard do what he's done? It was really an uphill climb at the start of the season defensively for the Titans, but then for the most part they've been able to just really pin down some of their opponents, and at times, granted, it started going back the other way as the Patriots were able to score late, but what has it been like just to watch that defense as it has progressed this year?
Well, and I think, you know, the impetus for that defense progressing really started when we had all our people healthy so we could rush with four people. When you rush with four people, we'll talk a little ball here now. You can rush with four people. I've called defenses for a long time in this league. Then you can do a lot with your coverage. If you're playing zone and they've got five eligible guys, you're 4-3 on one side, 3-2 on the other, with any permutation you want. If you're man-to-man, you can have a low-hole rat. You can have a high-hole cutter. You can do whatever you want to do. And that's when the Titans really started to gin defensively. It's when they were getting really good outside and cylinder pressure with their four down people. Well, once you start getting people hurt and you start having different people sub in, and now all of a sudden you don't have that pressure, then you got a little bit more ticks to throw the ball. And so it all goes hand in hand. You ask about Kevin Byard, he's been having a sensational year. A sensational year, and he's the leader back there. You know, now, unfortunately, of course, going with what's going on, you know, he's on the COVID list right now, you know, and hopefully he can be back, you know, through the week. I mean, if there's anything fortunate about being on the COVID list, it's that it came during the open date. But Kevin Byard's year, he's done a tremendous job. And he said from the start that he didn't have the type of season last year that he wanted to have. And he worked and vowed to have a better one, and he's done that.
Our guest, Dave McGinnis, color analyst with the Titans. Dave, when you look at Mac Jones, you saw him in person for the first time. How good is New England's rookie quarterback?
Well, I see the same guy I saw for Nick Saban. You know, you know what kind of draft show we do here at Titans Radio. It's really in-depth, and you know, we dig deep. And, you know, I've vetted players for 35 years in this league, done every draft. And I really liked it. I liked him because, and guys, he's doing the same thing and is being utilized the same way that Nick Saban used him. You know, he understands what he's seeing. He's a quick processor. He does a nice job of protecting the ball. He's good with play action. And plus, look, they've got a run game that complements what he does. I've had many people ask me on the national shows that I do across the country if I think that he would have done as well if he'd have been taken higher with some of the teams that took quarterbacks higher. And I said, absolutely not, because he would have gone to a worse team. He went to the ideal place with the 15th pick. And then, plus, Bill Belichick, he wasn't happy last year not being in the playoffs. So he went out and guaranteed $160 million to revamp the team. And then Josh McDaniel, he's in a perfect situation. So what I saw is exactly what I saw with Nick Saban. I'm just seeing it now in the National Football League. The guy's a gamer. But the guy's a smart guy. He understands it. He gets it. And really, there's not a whole lot of panic in it.
Do you think that New England right now is the best team in the AFC, or does their run defense concern you?
No, I don't care about New England. I hope they lose every game from here on out. Seriously. You know I'm always going to be honest, right? But I will tell you this. When I was vetting them for this game, all right, I watch every game, you know, they play. That's how I get ready, just like I was coaching. And so they were 2-4. They're a much better team now than they were after 6 weeks. They're a much better team right now. They've got an identity. They know what they're doing. Bill Belichick goes without doubt as being the best head coach in this league. I mean, the six trophies prove it. And so are they a good team right now? They absolutely are a good team right now. The best? I don't know. We still got 5 weeks to play. We'll find out after 5 weeks what the pecking order is. But they're a better team now than they were when they started out 2-4.
What is it like to be in this position that even after back-to-back losses, that so many significant chips in the back pocket for the Titans with some huge victories early on in this season, like against Buffalo and Kansas City?
Well, look, it's huge, and it's huge. You know, I always talk about stacking wins, just like sitting at that blackjack table. You can only stack chips one at a time. And so you stack those wins, and it that helps you a lot. But what has to happen now, guys, look, when you get in the last third of the season, which is what we're in now, now you are playing for positioning. You play the early part of the season, you know, to be able to move and to have a chance to be playing to get into the tournament. All right? Now, these last 5 weeks, they're critical. That's why the National Football League scheduled so many division games towards the end of the season to make it meaningful. And this is very meaningful right now. And here's what has to happen in the National Football League. For the Titans, just like any other team, you're into a five-week season now, and you're really into a series of one-week seasons, you know, 5 weeks in a row. That's where the Titans are. So they've got to figure out a way, once they get back from this break, of being able to put a plan together to beat Jacksonville here.
What has it been like to just see the season that Harold Landry's put together for the Titans, as well as the continued growth towards superstardom for Jeffrey Simmons?
Well, Big Jeff, I mean, again, as I say, and I give John Robinson and I give Amy Adams Strunk all the credit in the world for, you know, taking Big Jeff when he came out. We all know, you know, what he was, and then he had the injury. And look, just this guy has been phenomenal. Just, I mean, not recency, any recency bias in this, but just the last ball game, the perimeter screens that New England was running were hurting the Titans' defense, and the primary tackler on those perimeter screens before it really got going was Jeffrey Simmons. The guys had a remarkable year, and I love the year, you know, that he's been having. I mean, it's incredible to watch. It's fun to watch. I just want him to get some. And Harold Landry's been available every week. That's been huge for this team, and he's played a lot of snaps. I just want to get the other dudes back with him so we can get that seven-man rotation back that we had when this defense was really ginning well.
The Bills and the Cowboys both got off to really good starts and both have slumped of late. What do you think's happened with both of those teams?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, the Cowboys, you know, the Cowboys, you know, are a peculiar team. You know, they've been up and down. I still think they've got one of the best rosters in the league. I mean, it's very peculiar. You know, when you watch their games, I haven't watched them real close, but what has happened, I think, in every ball game that they've lost, they've had one unit be able to fall down. One week it's been the special teams. One week it's been the defense. One week it's been the offense. You really need everybody playing in a synergy together to be consistent. You know, the Bills have an excellent roster. And, again, I'm going to be very honest here. I hope the Bills lose every game from here on out. All right? But when you really start watching them and seeing what's going on, I mean, they're going to go as far as that quarterback can take them, because you know, they're a good football team personnel wise. That was a huge win, you know, for the Titans over those guys. And so to me, they're going to go as far as that quarterback's going to take them.
The Rams signed Von Miller and Odell Beckham Jr. and they haven't won since 0-3. Do you think that's messed up chemistry? You think it's just coincidence? How do you read that?
They got no chemistry out there. Look, there's a difference in building a team and acquiring talent. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference. Mm-hmm. You know, they're bringing in mercenaries. That's what they're doing. It's a mercenary, and I've never seen it work in this league. You know, I've seen other teams try it. It never works in this league. Plus, neither one of those guys have played much. You know, they really haven't had any. And I promise you, out there in L.A., I mean, I coached in L.A. You know, it's what have you done for me lately out there? Guys come in, guys leave, nobody cares. Just get it done. I don't think it's had any effect on the team at all. I just think what has happened is people have figured out, you know, and the Titans did it, you know, out there, that the Rams are a very talented team. They're not a real physical football team. So if you can get physical with them and you can take it into the fourth quarter against them and make them keep banging them around a little bit, you got a chance to beat them in four quarters.
Coach, we always appreciate your time. Tell me, what can we look forward to Friday on the Titans Amy and Coach Mac podcast?
Oh, you know, it's Titans Amy and I, and plus I'm glad you said Titans Amy, Coach Mac, because, you know, I vowed never to do a podcast when I came here 5 years ago. I had a dozen opportunities. I said, I'm not doing those. No, when Mike Keith and Titans Amy said, would you do a podcast? Absolutely. I'm a big fan of both of them. So It's been very well received. This week, we're kind of giving a recap of what's going on, with the Titans. We're giving a recap. We've got several really interesting interviews already in the can that we're gonna filter out, you know, once this is over. But this one that's coming out, and I'm glad you said Titans, Amy, Coach Mack, because when I want her name first, because I'm scared of Amy Wells, and I just wanted her name first. It is Titans, Amy, Coach Mack. But it's a lot of fun. It's been very well received, and thanks for asking about it.
All right, we'll look forward to that. And are we ever going to see wide release of the Coach Mack bobblehead that they keep using to promote these things?
Coach Mack bobblehead has been a phenomenon. Look, Farm Bureau Health Plans, Randy Wilmore and those people were outstanding. It was his idea once we started it and launched it, and now it's taken off. Now we've got an Amy Wells bobblehead. We've got a Mike Keith bobblehead, a singular one floating around out there. Look, let me say this. I really love the state of Tennessee and the fans of the Vols and of course the Titans fans and everybody involved. I mean, it's the reception of that thing has been great. And I'm telling you, the subject that they had to work with when they made mine, they were incredible, the job they did.
Coach, really appreciate your time. Enjoy the open date and, of course, getting back to business with the five-game season that remains. But can't wait to talk to you again in the future. But thank you for joining us tonight.
Guys, it's always a pleasure. You guys are the best. See you.
All right. Thanks, thank you very much. Dave McGinnis joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.